Welcome. I'm Cynthia Canty. This is a significant day for those of us who put stateside together, and for you who are tuning in to listen to us on this wonderful, unseasonably warm fall Michigan day. Thanks to your support, we are boosting stateside from a once-a-week show to 4 days a week. We'll be there for you Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 3 to 4, and then rebroadcast every night at 10. As we work hard to make stateside the kind of show we know that you want, we want to hear from you. What issues matter to you? What stories and people have grabbed your attention? Find us and let us know online at michiganradio.org, on Facebook under Stateside with Cynthia Canty, and that's C-A-N-T-Y, or on Twitter at Stateside Radio. And as always, we thank you for joining us on Stateside right here on Michigan Radio. On today's show, Jocelyn Benson joins us. She's an election law professor and a former candidate for Secretary of State. We're going to talk about her efforts to clean up lobbying here in Michigan. We'll get an update on Governor Snyder's town hall meeting in Detroit, where he's pushing for that new international bridge to Windsor. And we begin our first of two conversations about the state of the film industry here in Michigan. But first, to our top story. A large police task force is hard at work today, searching for the person behind a series of shootings that began last week, centered along the I-96 corridor. To date, 22 people have reported being shot at, all of them motorists except for one man who was taking out his trash. Luckily, no one has been hurt, but police say there have been some very close calls. Reports have come from Oakland, Livingston, Ingham, and Shiawassee counties. That large police task force includes Wixom Police, sheriffs from the four counties, the Michigan State Police, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, all coordinating the search for the shooter. A police sketch was released over the weekend based on witness descriptions, and police have stepped up patrols of I-96. All of this brings to mind random shootings in 2002 around Washington, D.C., shootings that ultimately left 10 people dead and 3 critically wounded. And in 2003, there were 24 sniper attacks in Ohio, especially concentrated around I-270 in Columbus. One person was killed then. There is something especially unsettling about a random crime like this, thinking that you or a loved one could become a target for doing nothing beyond driving on I-96. But how worried should we be? And how likely really are we to become a victim of a random crime like this? Professor Brad Bushman is with Ohio State University. He's a professor of communication and psychology, and he joins us now from Columbus. Professor, what is it that makes us fear the unlikely, such as a random shooting on a freeway, even more than we fear the likely, for example, car crashes?
Yeah, when people judge the likelihood or the frequency of an event, they search their memories for instances of that event occurring. And the more easily those instances come to mind, the more frequent they think they are. And the problem with events like this is they're very salient, they're very noticeable, and they come to mind very frequently. And so even though they're quite rare, people, when they think about such events, they can readily recall instances of those events. And so they think that they're more common, much more common than they actually are. And scientists call that the availability heuristic.
And is that here as in here and now, or what does that word mean?
H-E-U-R-I-S-T-I-C.
Okay.
A heuristic is just a mental device that people use to make quick decisions.
Okay, and we use that every day. Well, with that in mind, if it is way more likely that I could die in a car crash, let's say, compared to a random shot being fired by someone, how is it I can feel so comfortable driving? What's going on to kind of let me just get in that car and not think twice?
Yeah, because the same heuristic. You can readily recall instances in your life when you've driven safely to different locations, and you can't remember so many incidents when you had terrible crashes, so you assume that because you can't remember any horrific incidents that they must not be so common.
So the headlines that we're hearing that someone hears a bullet ping by as he takes the trash out, or someone is, you know, chugging along a freeway and cuts home and realizes that that sound they heard turned out to be a bullet hole, the rarity of that makes it bigger in our heads?
Exactly. Millions of people take out their trash every day, and how many of them are shot at? I mean, it's an incredibly rare event, but the news features such events, and a common phrase in the news is, if it bleeds, it leads, and the news often focuses on the most horrific violent scenes, and those are the ones that come most readily to mind.
I guess I'd ask you this then, Professor Bushman. How do you feel a story such as this one that we're going through here in Michigan with a series of shootings? You certainly went through it in 2003 in Ohio. How should those stories be covered? How do you balance the need to inform and to make people aware with tipping over the edge and getting breathless and sensational?
Exactly the way you're doing it. I think it's really wonderful that you're talking about the actual frequency of such events and how rare they actually are, and that people should, of course, be aware that such incidents happen, but that they're extremely rare, that millions of people take out the trash or drive safely without people taking pot shots at them, and that the likelihood that something will happen to them is very small.
And how do you think that we as media consumers and also as parents should approach a story like this one?
I think we should help our children remember instances when they've taken out the trash safely, or when they've driven with us safely, and when things have not happened, rather than focusing on the horrific things that might happen but probably won't happen.
I guess the other issue that here, it feels so very powerless. I think often when something happens bad, some bad thing happens to someone, if there's a context, oh, they were at a drug den, or oh, they were walking at 2 a.m. in an alley where they shouldn't have been, that's something we do in our own minds, isn't it, to make us feel just a little more distant?
It is, and that's what's perhaps most troubling about these shootings, is their random nature. Because people like to have control of their lives. They like to have predictable lives. They like to understand what will happen in the future. And when we lose that sense of control, it's very unnerving.
Let me have you go a little deeper, if I could, Dr. Bushman, into what you would like to see the media do, particularly the television news. They're driven by having something for the 6 a.m., the 7 a.m., the noon, the 5, the 6, the 11. What would you like to see happen in the way they might cover the news like this?
Well, I think it's responsible journalism to cover such events, but also to talk about how infrequent those events are. I guess I would, for example, get some statistics on the number of people who took out their trash during that 2-day period, and comfort viewers by telling them that, you know, it's an incredibly rare event that only one person who took out their trash was shot at, but many, many more were not shot at. And I would talk about all the people who traveled to and from work safely on the freeways who were not shot at. Those are busy roads. I've been on them many times myself, and it's just an extremely rare event for somebody to be shot at on a freeway. So although the events are random and we feel out of control, we should feel comforted knowing that they're very rare.
When we think about the fact that, I know all weekend, I was at the U of M MSU tailgate party, and people were talking about this. It becomes, for lack of something better, water cooler buzz. What are we doing there? Is that part of our innate need to share stories and to say, oh, my word, thank God that wasn't me? What's happening?
Yeah, well, people do like to share information, especially information that others may not be aware of. But, you know, it also can have a potentially destructive effect, because what people are doing is rehearsing these horrific events. And when people rehearse these events, they more easily come to mind. And the availability heuristic proposes, the more easily something comes to mind, the more frequent and likely we think it is. And so I think it just makes these events more available to us. We assume they're more frequent than they actually are, and that that type of buzz actually just makes it worse rather than better.
And I am guessing, am I right, that this is really something part of being human? So in essence, if there was an awful mastodon attack in the prehistoric era that killed a hunter, they'd all be talking about it around the tribal fire, right?
Probably.
Appreciate your help, Dr.
Sure.
Buschman. Dr. Brad Buschman with Ohio State University, professor of communication and psychology. Thanks for talking with us today.
Sure.
On Stateside.